Welcome to the preaching and teaching ministry of Marion Oaks Assembly of God in Ocala, Florida. We invite you to open your Bibles as we join Pastor Tim McIntyre for today's message or Bible study.
We are in our seventh lesson on the Beatitudes. We have tonight, and then next week will be the last lesson on the Beatitudes. Tonight we're talking about blessed are the peacemakers. The peacemakers. The Beatitudes being those short statements Jesus made at the beginning of the Sermon on the Mount, where he said, blessed are. People in the world think of blessings as having the right circumstances, having the right possessions, having what you want. But the kind of blessedness that Jesus is talking about is even much more significant than that. It doesn't have to do with our circumstances. In fact, we can have this blessedness even if our circumstances don't look so good. Doesn't have anything to do with what we possess. We can have this blessedness and happiness associated with it, even if we don't possess much. And it doesn't have to do with any other thing that has to do with this world. In fact, Jesus made it very, very clear it has more to do with our attitudes and what's happening within us than anything that's happening around us. And this is a blessedness that comes from God, not just from the circumstances and things around us. The definition we've been using, and it's on your note sheet, the attitudes and character traits that God wants to develop within us. So today we're on the seventh one. All the previous ones are online if you want to go back and listen to them. And it's blessed are the peacemakers. Talk about this idea of peace. You know, you would think that everyone would want peace. But world peace and even regional peace has never been experienced. I remember reading one time, and I tried to find the quote, and I couldn't find it today, but I've heard it so many times, that as historians have gone back through history, they cannot find a single time in human history where there wasn't at least one war somewhere. And usually there was more than that. Some covering almost the whole world. Many, most, covering a major area. Some just a localized thing. Why do you think that is? Why is it that there's no real peace in the world? Because if you ask people, do you want peace? Most everyone would say, yes, I want peace. But we don't experience it. And not just that kind of peace, but we don't have economic peace, religious peace, racial peace, social peace, family peace, personal peace. Why is it that peace is so elusive? Because there's a devil in the world. All right, that's a good answer. What are some other reasons why peace seems to be so elusive? Chris? Bible says man's heart is wicked. And so you get two men together. Does that apply to women too? I just thought I'd ask. Okay. So you get two wicked people together, there's going to be problems, right? Yeah. Anybody else have a comment on that? Yes, Tim. Okay. People seeking power. Okay. And at the root of that is some selfishness. You know, you get two people together, they got their own ideas of what they want, and there's a lot of times there's conflict in there, and only one of them can have what they want. All right, so all these are great answers. John MacArthur, a great Bible scholar, he said, there's no peace now for two reasons. The opposition of Satan, like Bob said, and the disobedience of man, like many others have said. The fall of the angels and the fall of man established a world without peace. Satan and man are engaged with the God of peace in a battle for sovereignty. Goes back to what Tim said, the desire for power. I want to have the power. Okay. Our text is Matthew 5:9. Blessed are the peacemakers, for they shall be called sons of God. We want to talk, first of all, as we have each week, about what it means. The characteristic, thing that Jesus says are true, that are the ones that are going to be blessed. In this case, it's the peacemaker. Before we talk about peacemaker, let's talk about what actually is peace. Okay? What does the word peace mean? What does it imply? What does it insinuate? What'd you say? Oh, the absence of turmoil. Yes, the absence of turmoil. What else? Lynn? Unity and oneness among individuals. Any other thoughts come to your mind when you think of peace? Other than the fact that you'd like to have some. Okay, love. Chris? Security. Security. Protection. All right. You know, a lot of times people think of peace as Tim started out with, and it is true, but the absence of something. The absence of turmoil, the absence of conflict, the absence of, I mean, you can even get into attitudes, anger and bitterness, strife, those kind of things. And that does that is part of peace. But on your note sheet, I have this. Peace is not just the absence of trouble, evil, or war. In fact, if you don't fill in the blanks, it just says peace is the absence of trouble, evil, and war. That is true, but it's not just that. Okay? At least not the way the Bible talks about peace. Okay? In the Bible, the word peace, and I've got this on your understanding, it equals wholeness. It goes a lot along the way of what Lynn said there, unity, okay, and harmony between people. It has the idea of wholeness. It includes everything which makes for a person's highest good. In other words, peace isn't just the absence of what causes us problems. In God's word, peace has the idea of not just the absence of that, but the addition of everything that's best for you. Okay? Perhaps you've heard the Hebrew word for peace. It's shalom. You know, Jewish people, even people that aren't Jewish, they hear about it, they greet people with shalom. In the Muslim world, the Arabic world, it's salam. Okay? I don't know if you ever watch a TV show and you see these Arabs get together and say salam alaikum and all that kind of stuff. Salam, that's the same word as shalom. It means peace. The idea is I want what is best for you. Okay? I want you to experience what is best for you. That's the idea behind this idea of, or this word peace. It implies completeness, health, justice, prosperity, protection. Okay? What are some areas in which people need peace? Or what are some relationships in which people need peace? In marriage? Yeah. Okay. Chris? Peace of mind. In other words, without even another person being involved, we need to have inner peace, peace within ourselves. Okay? Basically, you can say with any other person, if there's a problem, we need peace with others. Can you think of any other relationship in which we need peace? What? Co-workers. Yeah. There's one other major, major relationship in which we need peace. Lynn? We need peace with God. The scriptures say that we have peace with God through the Lord Jesus Christ. That's the only way we can have peace with God. Should have put that scripture on there. Do you know what the reference is for that? I'm putting it on the spot. That's okay. I don't either, Lynn. That's all right. I didn't think about that. I should have looked that up and put it on here, okay? But we have the peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ. So we need peace within. We need peace with God. We need peace with others, whoever the others are, our spouse, our family members, our co-workers, our friends. All right? Basically every relationship, we could definitely use some peace. Now, Jesus is talking about peacemakers. All right? He said, blessed are the peacemakers. Now, what is a peacemaker? And I'm not talking about Colt 45. All right? What is a peacemaker? One who promotes peace. All right? And your thoughts about what a peacemaker is, Lynn? Okay. Someone who works to reconcile two adversaries, to bring about peace between them. So it's not just that I got to get peace with me and somebody else, but have the desire to see peace between other people. All right? All right? On your note sheet, I put a couple of thoughts here just to kind of, oh, that's true, just to expand this idea. Number one, a peacemaker is not the same as a peace lover. Can anybody think about what the difference would be between a peacemaker and a peace lover? Now, there's nothing wrong with a peace lover. We all love peace. We all want peace. But what would be the difference between the peacemaker and the peace lover? There you go. The peacemaker has the idea of action. I'm going to do something about it. I'm going to be involved. But Gene mentioned that and Lynn mentioned that. You know, I'm going to do something to promote, to bring about to peace and reconciliation. Whereas the peace lover can say, I love peace, but actually do nothing about it. In fact, sometimes people who are peace lovers can lead to more conflict. Okay? Now, there's nothing wrong with being a peace lover. But be careful how that manifests itself in your life. Because if you're a peace lover in the sense of, well, I don't want to make any waves and I don't want to cause any problems, so I'm just going to let things go the way they are. And there are things that are going on that shouldn't be. They get worse and worse and worse. And then eventually when the war comes, it's worse than if you'd have said or done something about it. Okay? So again, there's nothing wrong with loving peace. It'd be kind of strange if you didn't. But don't be one of those peace lovers that just sits back and does nothing. That just tries to avoid threatening and dangerous situations, okay? I'm not saying you should run to them either. I'm not saying you should cause them, all right? Let's see here. There we go. Oh, let me just say this. Peace lovers sometimes passively accept whatever's going on around them, even if it's wrong. So the second one actually is the positive side, and it really goes along with what Gene said. It's one who actively strives for peace. Okay? Is doing something about it. Doesn't try to evade the issue. Faces the issues, deals with them, works for peace, even if it requires struggle, even if it's difficult, has those difficult conversations, if they're appropriate. Okay? Sometimes they're not appropriate. We'll get to that in number three. Okay? But if it's appropriate, if you're the one, okay? And that's something you need to pray about. Am I the one that's supposed to step in and do something? All right? Peacemakers do more than just live peaceful lives. They actively seek to make peace, to cause reconciliation, to end bitterness and strife. There are three different types of peacemakers, and it goes along with what we said before about in what relationships or areas do we need peace. The first one is those who make peace in their own hearts with God. If you have made your peace with God, you're a peacemaker. Of course, God had to take the first step. And you probably heard people say, have you made your peace with God? Sometimes people have the wrong idea of what that takes. The Bible makes it very clear what that takes. You've got to surrender your life to Christ. Trust in Him for your salvation. That's how you make your peace with God. But that's peacemaking. So that's the first step. Those who make peace in their hearts, in their own hearts with God. The second type are those who help others make peace with God. Have you ever thought about that? If you share Jesus with someone else with the intent of trying to lead them to God, you are being a peacemaker. Because until someone else knows Christ, there is conflict, there is war, there is battle between that person and God. Not that God's out to get them. Okay, but they're in rebellion to God. So anytime we share the gospel, we point people to Jesus, we are being peacemakers. All right? Those who help others make peace with God, and then those who help establish peace between others. We've mentioned that several times, bringing about reconciliation. All right? Those who help establish peace between others. So a peacemaker is someone who strives to prevent and heal bitterness, contention, strife, and discord. Now, number three, a peacemaker is not a meddler. I said we get to that in number three. Sometimes it's not our place to get involved. We need to pray. We need to be peacemakers. We need to be willing to be peacemakers. But we need to examine our attitudes and our hearts and our motivations. Because sometimes we want to jump into it because we want to get our two licks in. Or we want to tell somebody where they've got it wrong. Or we want to lord it over them or whatever. We do need to be willing to be a peacemaker, but we've got to approach it the right way. Because peacemaking is not meddling. Okay? I like this quote. It says, a peacemaker is one who makes this world a better place for all to live in. A specific quote, Abraham Lincoln said this. He says, die when I may, I would like it said of me that I always pulled up a weed and planted a flower where I thought a flower would grow. I think that's a neat picture there. Going through life, trying to rid the world of evil and bring in the good. Solve problems, make things better. Okay. Now, what would be an opposite characteristic of a peacemaker? A troublemaker. There you go. You got a peacemaker. You got a troublemaker. People who stir up strife. I'm sure you've never met any people like that. People who seem to delight in causing problems for other and problems between others. I'm sure none of you have ever done that. People who are always involved in quarrels, cause quarrel between other people. To be honest with you, they're doing the devil's work. And we can do it sometimes accidentally. Hopefully we don't do it on purpose. It'll be careful. So the restatement of this particular thing of blessed are the peacemakers could be, blessed are those who work toward repairing relationships between man and God and man and man. Man and God and man and man. Can you think of any examples in the Bible, positive examples of people who were peacemakers? Besides Jesus, I mean, Jesus is the positive example for every single one of them. Can you think about anybody else in the Bible that brought people together who perhaps were head to the opposite direction? Barnabas. Yeah, I've got that one on my sheet of paper here. Barnabas. He brought Saul together with the church leaders because the church leaders were scared to death of Saul because he had been persecuting them. But Barnabas was a peacemaker. Chris, did you think of one? Jonah in Nineveh. That's kind of iffy. God used him as a peacemaker, but he didn't want to be one. So You know? I mean, he wanted God to zap him. Yeah, he did. We won't dig into all the problems with that one. But yeah, he functioned in that role. Okay? All right. How about Joseph? You know, Joseph had every right to be upset with his brothers and that kind of stuff. But he played the role of a peacemaker between himself and them. All right. How about negative examples? Can you think of any negative examples of people who were not peacemakers? They were at each other from the Bible. We studied some earlier this year. Oh, yeah. Sanballat and Tobiah and Nehemiah. Yes. Those aren't the ones we studied earlier. But yeah, they were causing problems with the rebuilding of the walls of Jerusalem, and actually a couple generations before that, when they were rebuilding the temple, they're not named, but there were some people from that same group that were causing problems. Okay, Chris. Judas Iscariot? He caused problems, but he didn't really stir. I mean, you could say he stirred things up, but I think the religious leaders were pretty stirred up already. All right. Earlier this year, we studied the book of Philippians. There were two ladies. Probably the only two ladies in the history of the world that had a problem with each other. But they were called Euodia and Syntyche. Yes, that may not be the right way to pronounce it, but it works. Philippians 4, verses 2 and 3, Paul said, again, you may remember, you know, they're reading this letter in church. These two ladies are sitting there, and they hear their pastor read, I entreat Euodia and I entreat Syntyche to agree in the Lord. Yes, I ask you also, true companion, help these women who have labored side by side with me in the gospel. All right. The blessing of peacemaking is to be called sons of God. Jesus said, blessed are the peacemakers, for they will be called sons of God. What does that mean? Sounds nice. What does that mean, practically speaking, they'll be called sons of God? I mean, aren't we all sons of God or daughters of God if we have a relationship with Him through Jesus Christ? Another name for the children of God. But not all of the children of God are peacemakers. They should be, yes. Okay. And we are all, if we have a relationship with God, whether we are actively peacemakers or not, we are sons and daughters of God. But there's a special use of this term here, sons of God. In the Bible, when someone, in their culture, if they wanted to describe someone or name a characteristic of someone, okay, one of the ways they could do that was to say they were the son of that characteristic, okay? If you wanted to say somebody was very peaceful, say they're a son of peace, okay? If you wanted to say that they were encouraging, say they were a son of encouragement, and that should make you ring a bell. Barnabas, okay, his name means son of encouragement. That's not his name, actually. That's his nickname, because he was an encouraging person. So they called him the son of encouragement. His real name was Joseph. All right. And so that was a way to do it. So if you look at it that way, to be called sons of God, it means you are like God. On your note sheet, I put it this way. They reflect their father's character. Amen. They're like God. Blessed are the peacemakers because they're like God. They reflect their father's character. You've heard that old saying, like father, like son. That's not always used in a positive way. But in this case, it is. All right. It's saying, you know, you're a peacemaker, like father, like son. God is the ultimate peacemaker, okay? He's the source of peace. And so the peacemakers are engaged in the very work which the God of peace is doing. So they're called sons of God. A restatement would be, they are doing a God-like work. They are doing a God-like work. So if we put the two restatements all together, they're not on your note sheet together, but if we put them together, it would be, blessed are those who work toward repairing relationships between man and God and man and man, for they are doing a God-like work, or they are being like God. Now, I want to talk about some practical things here in case we don't have peace, or in case we have problems with someone else, or in case we see people with problems and we believe God may want us to get involved and be peacemakers. So first of all, let's talk about hindrances to experiencing peace. What are the things that can keep us from experiencing peace personally, ourselves? Sin. Yeah, sin. That goes along with the first one I have on here, lack of peace with God. Can I tell you, if you don't have peace with God, you're not going to have peace within. And to be honest with you, if you don't have peace with God, you're going to struggle having peace with other people. It's almost like a progression. If you really want peace with other people, you've got to start with peace within. Okay, I mean, peace with God, which can lead to peace within, which makes it easier for you to have peace with other people. All right? So lack of peace with God will keep us from experiencing peace. What, can you think of any other things that will keep us from experiencing peace? When you think you know it all? Yes, that goes with number two. Selfishness, pride, and greed. Now, that's a broad category that covers several things. Alvin mentioned when you think you know it all. That's the pride part. Selfishness is also related to pride. I know it all. I am it all. So I want what I want. Okay, it's all about me. And greed is I want it all. Okay? And James talks about that in James chapter 3, verse 18 through chapter 4, verse 3. He says, "And a harvest of righteousness is sown in peace by those who make peace. What causes quarrels and what causes fights among you? Is it not this, that your passions are at war within you? You desire and you do not have, so you murder. You covet and cannot obtain, so you fight and quarrel. You don't have because you don't ask. You ask and don't receive because you ask wrongly to spend it on your passions." He says, what? You know, people that are peaceful and people that sow peace, they receive peace. They receive righteousness. But there's a lot of fighting and quarreling. Why? Because you're so full of pride. Because you're full of selfishness. Because you're full of greed. Because you want what you want and you can't get it. And you ask for things you don't get it from God because you're asking for the wrong reasons. So selfishness, pride, and greed. And number three is delighting in trouble. Hopefully that wouldn't characterize any of you. Shouldn't characterize any servant of God, but there are some people that delight in trouble. You've probably met some. Probably know some. All right? But that will definitely keep us from experiencing peace ourselves. I'll be honest with you. I think sometimes people cause trouble because they're not having peace. It's that old statement, hurting people hurt people. It's like, I don't have any peace in my life. I'm just going to stir up trouble for everybody else. Yes. Yes. Well, I want to give you some practical application as we try to wrap this up in the next 10 minutes here. As we talk about this idea of peace and being peacemakers and the blessedness that comes from that, just some pieces of advice, no pun intended, pieces of advice. Anyway, number one, make your peace with God. Make your peace with God. Now, I think I know pretty much everybody in this room. And unless you're really good at hiding it, I think you have made your peace with God as far as you know the Lord as your Savior. But you know what? Even as Christians, sometimes we can kind of get a little bit out of sync with God. And it goes back to what Alvin said, when we have sin in our lives, you know, and sin isn't just going out and doing some terrible thing. It can be an attitude. You know, it can be we said the wrong words to our spouse or our kids or whatever before we left the house this morning and we didn't get it taken care of. It can be a motive. We can be doing the right thing for the wrong reason. And all those things, until they're settled with God, until we've made our peace with God, can lead to a lack of peace. So even as believers, if there's a restlessness, there's something, say, God, is there something that's not right between me and you? So make your peace with God. Make your peace with God. The second one is make every effort to be at peace with others. Make it every effort to be at peace with others. Hebrews 12:14 tells us exactly that. Make every effort to live in peace with all men. Now, I'm going to give you some principles on how to make peace with others if there's a problem between you and somebody else. And once again, I want to give credit. I told you I've been using some materials by Rick Warren as I studied for this, along with many others. And I've borrowed a couple things from him for a couple of the lessons. And this I got from him. All right. But before we look at what I've got down here, which spell out the word peace, P-E-A-C-E. If someone were to ask you, listen, I've got this thing between me and whoever it is. What can I do? What should I do as a Christian? What are biblical principles that I can use to try to bring about peace between me and that other person? What would you tell them? Pray. Yeah, pray about it because you need God's help. Yeah, what else? You think of anything else? Ask them to forgive you. You know, a lot of times we think it's all them. Most of the time when there's a problem, there's fault on both sides. I mean, it may be 90-10, 70-30. But usually there's fault on both sides, and so you got to be willing to examine yourself. All right? What else would you say that you would say to them? What can they do? Empathize with them. Okay. Try to feel what they're feeling. All right, Alvin. Oh, I thought you did. You put your hand up? You didn't. Okay. Anybody else have a thought? Take them to the pastor. To do what? Feed him with the shepherd's staff. Let him straighten them out. No, but you know what? We say that kind of funny, but You know what? Sometimes if the problem is between you and someone else, there are times you may need to get somebody else involved. And a pastor would be, not that I'm volunteering or saying I'd love to do that. I'd be willing to do that. Okay, not because that's not often a fun job. In fact, that's what a lot of marriage counseling comes down to being. You know? Are you trying to tell us something, Rupert? That's twice tonight you've referred to marriage and a lack of peace. So, Brother French. That goes right along with what Lynn said, empathizing. You know, but empathizing is more than just trying to figure out in your head what they're going through. You may need to talk to them and ask them and listen. That's all a part of that empathizing. Well, let's jump into what we have here so we don't go too late. But the P part of it, okay? P, plan a peace conference. In other words, don't just sit there and think about it. Pray about it. That's wonderful. But don't just stop with that. You need to do something about it. You need to be intentional. You need to take some steps. And don't do like I'm sure none of you attempt to do. Well, there's a problem. They can come to me. They started it. They can come to me. You know, Jesus gave examples on both sides. He says, if you know you've caused a problem, go take care of it. If you know there's a problem because they caused it, go take care of it. One of them is right here in Matthew 5, 23 to 24. Jesus says, so if you are offering your gift at the altar, and we have a hard time relating to that. What he's talking about is if you are worshiping, if you are bringing your sacrifice to be in right relationship with God, and you could offer sacrifices because you need forgiveness, or you could offer sacrifices saying, God, I love you, and I'm offering a sacrifice to say thank you. Doesn't matter which way. He says, if you are coming to worship God, okay, and there you remember that your brother has something against you, leave your gift there before the altar and go. First be reconciled to your brother and then come and offer your gift. God says, listen, if you're trying to have a great relationship with me, but there's a problem between you and your brother, you need to do what you can do. Sometimes you can do all you can do and it's not going to work out because they're not willing. But God says, that's even more important than you worshiping me is you get your relationship straightened out. So, plan a peace conference. Okay, take the initiative. Be active about it. Letter E, empathize. Lynn mentioned that before. Empathize with their feelings. Try to put yourself in their place. As Brother French says, sit down and have a talk. Ask them, listen, what's going on? Why is there this between us? Okay, that works really good for husbands and wives. Okay, so make note, Rupert. Anyway, Philippians... Philippians 2:4, let each of you look not only to his own interest, but also to the interest of others. When there's a problem with us and somebody else, we're always looking at ourselves. I got my feelings hurt. They cause problems for me. They're upset with me. It's me. You know, we all battle that selfishness. Okay, so empathize with their feelings. A, attack the problem, not the person. Attack the problem. And this is good for all relationships, but you really need to learn to do this in families. Okay, spouses, kids, whatever. Kids and grandkids. If our children and grandchildren just always hear us talking about all their negatives and stuff in the sense that this is wrong with you, they're going to have a terrible, terrible self-image. Okay? They need to know that when there's a problem, we still love them. It's the issues with what they're doing or what they're saying, all right? And we could dig a whole lesson out of that, but attack the problem, not the person. Proverbs 15:1, a soft answer turns away wrath, but a harsh word stirs up anger. Ephesians 4:29, let no corrupting talk come out of your mouths, but only such as is good for building up, as fits the occasion, that it may give grace to those who hear. Let me just say, listen, you can talk about negative things in a way that builds up. This verse isn't saying that you should only speak positive things, only tell them what they're doing right, and never deal with what they're doing wrong. No, this verse has advice about you need to deal with what they're doing wrong, but do it in such a way that the end result is that they're built up. Okay? And again, we could do a whole lesson on that. The C in the piece. C, cooperate as much as possible. Cooperate. And I think you could put down there, healthy compromise. We don't compromise like I'm going to give in just to save the peace, but we need to learn how to compromise. Sometimes both people have to give a little bit, all right? Romans 12:18, if possible, so far as it depends on you, live peaceably with all. And then the E is emphasize reconciliation, not resolution. Emphasize reconciliation, not resolution. In other words, we need to try to work our problem out. But even if we can't come into agreement, our relationship is more important than the problem. Okay? And that's what's on your notes either. The relationship is more important than the problem. I've said this in other contexts. Sometimes we just have to learn to disagree agreeably. You know? I don't see eye to eye with you on that, but that's okay. I still love you. We can still be friends. We can still be married. I won't kick you out of the house. But anyway, even if we never agree on this particular issue, all right, we can still love one another. All right. So, now that's not to say you need to put up with abuse or anything. It's obviously morally wrong. This is just saying when you've got an honest difference of opinion about something that really doesn't matter morally or ethically, the relationship's a whole lot more important than that disagreement, okay? 2 Corinthians 5:18, Paul says, "This is from God who through Christ reconciled us to himself and gave us the ministry of reconciliation." So, that was a big expansion on number two. The first one was make your peace with God. Number one was make your peace with God. Number two is make every effort to be at peace with others. Number three was work toward establishing peace between others. In other words, being a peacemaker, it's not you and another person, but you see two other people. We've already thought you need to pray about it, make sure it's your responsibility or you're the right person to perhaps get involved. You've examined your heart. You're not trying to meddle. You're not trying to, you know, put yourself in where you don't need to be. But you really believe that God wants you to be involved. James 3:18 says, "And a harvest of righteousness is sown in peace by those who make peace." We could say, well, how do you do that? Well, I would just say, look at the list of things that we just mentioned about how to make your peace with somebody else, the P-E-A-C-E thing, and then say, how can this apply to me helping two other people? All right? We can encourage them and help them or advise other people to follow those same steps. In other words, we talked about how, first of all, I've got to find it here, plan a peace conference. All right? You may want to get these two and say, listen, can I get together with you and the other person and we can kind of try to talk this out, all right? Empathize. You might be able to talk to one person and say, well, have you ever thought about this, maybe why that person did that or said that or what they're going, have you thought about what they're going through? So you're doing through the same process that we just talked about for us and somebody else as trying to help someone else with an issue with a third party. So anyway, do that. Now, it's not easy to do that. It takes humility and it takes risk. Humility because it requires we put other people first. Risk because if you get between two people that are shooting each other, you get shot at. That's right. Again, so you got to be very careful that you only get involved where God wants you to. But don't ever let that be an excuse to not get involved if you believe God does want you to. It may be difficult, but Jesus said, blessed are the peacemakers because they're doing what God wants done. Okay? All right. To wrap this up, if you think way back to the beginning, the Garden of Eden started with peace. Sin destroyed it. Jesus' death on the cross made it possible once again. And we will have perfect peace once again in eternity. But between now and then, we got to work on it. Make every effort to be at peace. Be a peacemaker. We'll wrap it up with this passage out of 2 Corinthians 13:11. It says, finally, brothers, rejoice. Aim for restoration. Comfort one another. Agree with one another. Live in peace. And the God of love and peace will be with you. Good way to end. Let's pray. Father, thank you again for your word. And God, we thank you that you bring peace to us. God, when we're in our sin, we're honest with ourselves, Lord God. That such turmoil, the pain, the brokenness that is there. An alienation from you, but even though we don't deserve it, you freely forgive when we come to you in repentance, Lord. Thank you for your peace. Thank you that we can be in the midst of a storm, literally, figuratively, however it is, Lord, in the midst of difficulty, in the midst of need, in the midst of strife. But if we're truly leaning on you and in right relationship with you, we can have your peace. And Father, I pray right now for anybody in this room who maybe is not at peace. Maybe it's because they've taken their eyes off of you like Peter when he walked on the water. Maybe it's because they got something in their life they got to get taken care of. And I pray that as a result of tonight, they'll get it taken care of, whether it's between them and somebody else or between them and you, Lord, that right now they just get that taken care of. But Lord, for anybody who doesn't have peace, may they do the right thing and may they experience that peace as soon as possible. And Father, it is not easy, but use us in any way you can, Lord God, to bring about peace between other people. And Father, especially for those people we're close to and we spend a lot of time with, but Lord, for everybody, help us to walk in peace. Help us to get our eyes off of ourselves. Help us be willing in humility, Lord God, to think of others as better than ourselves and to walk in peace with all people as much as we possibly can. And Father, I realize that that sounds simplistic. There are some really difficult situations that have caused a lack of peace. I don't mean to minimize that. But Father, even in the most difficult, terrible situations, you can bring peace if the people are willing to pursue it. So, Lord, help us to experience your peace in every relationship. And we give you the glory and the honor in Jesus' name. Amen.
We hope you've enjoyed listening to today's message or Bible study. For more information, please contact us at area code 352-347-3001 or visit us online at www.marionoaksag.org. If you would like to help support this ministry, please mail your donations to Marion Oaks Assembly of God at the address listed on our website.